collect of today's Mass is very important to us, and we should pray it whether in Latin or in English, if you wish to do one or the other, or both. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, to thy people to avoid, of course in the English they say shun, in the Latin it says vitare, which means to avoid. And there's many things in this world that we need to avoid, as you well know. The contagion of the devil. And you know we avoid pestilences and disease and this, that, and the other. Some of us more than others. But do we also avoid the evil of the devil? The contagion of the devil. And this is very important. And of course, we have just celebrated the three Ember days of September, which among other things is to strengthen us to avoid evil, strengthen us to follow God fully and completely. And what a better way to continue that than this prayer, this collect. Grant to us, O Lord, if we avoid temptation and avoid sin, it is a gift from God. Grant to us, O Lord, grant to thy people, O Lord, to avoid the contagion of the devil, the temptations, the sins, which he brings to us and presents to us. And so this is a very important message that the Church gives to us on this day. Now we continue then with the Gospel, one of those occasions in which our Lord allowed the Pharisees to confront him, and instead he turned the tables on them and confronted them, leaving them totally and completely speechless. It's a perfect situation. When they who think that they can take on the Son of God, even though they don't really believe in him, but they suspect, all of a sudden are taken on and defeated, routed totally by him. So they want to know, and of course, this is an Old Testament teaching. This is nothing new. Find it in the books of the law, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch. And so they asked him, what is the great commandment? We would say the greatest, but nevertheless, they say here, the great. In the law of God, in lege, in the law of God. And of course, he also meant the law of Moses, which is the law of God. And then Jesus repeats what the Old Testament says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first. And so he's not only today speaking to the Pharisees, though perhaps some of us are Pharisees, who knows. But he's speaking to each and every one of us. And you need to answer for yourselves, in your own heart, in your own soul, and when you go to confession, which I hope you do frequently. You must love the Lord thy God above all else, above everything else that is created in the universe, above all those, even those who are your most beloved, loved ones, whoever and wherever they may be. God must come first. I say this all the time, and some people look, give me a dirty look, especially when it concerns family, especially family who has left the church or never has joined. And they don't understand us. We are totally strange creatures to them, and that's good. And when it concerns the world, and that includes whether it be the politics or whether it be the economics of this world, many of us put those things first. Our job, our money, our so-called future that we're not even assured of anyway, and put God second. And that's why, of course, a lot of people give me a dirty look when I say to them, and it's in my book if you want to read it for yourselves. Of course, not everything in print is necessarily true, but mine is. That you should not do any commerce or any work that is commerce on Sunday. Now, obviously, you have to cook sometimes and wash the dishes and clean your baby's diapers. That is not what I am talking about. There's many different types of work, and some of them are for commerce. Maybe I am too scrupulous myself, but I will not even buy anything online. That's commerce. And Sunday is the Lord's day. 6 days a week you have to do commerce. The Lord's day, the Sabbath, you must not. However, we cannot be like the Pharisees. And he says to them, who has a cow or an ass, does not take them to drink water on the Sabbath? There is common sense. But that is not commerce either. That is taking pity on the creatures of God, whom he has commended to our care. And they are all gifts of God. No different than your children and your loved ones are. They're all gifts of God. And we must take care of them. And we don't need Laudato Si to know that. Nor one or two. And so, we need to not be hypocrites like the Pharisees. We're hypocrites. But we must love and put God first in all things. And then, of course, there are the situations of other family affairs. In particular, I think of something that comes up to me all the time, and they wished I had a different answer, but I cannot change the answer. Well, if my daughter is marrying someone outside the church on the beach, by some guru or somebody else who is a minister or whatever, can I go to that? What do you think? Someone who's making a mockery out of the holy sacrament of matrimony, can I go to that? Someone who's left the church and has spit on God's face, can you go to that? Oh, they certainly give me the dirty looks. That's okay, I don't care. God must come first, for me too. And if I don't teach the truth, then who will? Now, we know that most of the clergy today is not teaching anything, much less the truth. They don't even know the truth, God help us. That's why we work so hard for vocations. And so God must come first. And these temptations of the world, commerce, or family who try to pull our heartstrings to lead us to do something which is offensive to God, those are the contagion of the devil too. And of course, the things about which we have spoken the last 2 Sundays, those are the contagion of the devil too. And then our Lord continues, because we live in this world. St. James tells us in his epistle, if you do not love your neighbor whom you can see, and most of the times what you see is disgusting and sends my blood pressure going up high, which it does, especially lately. If you cannot love your neighbor whom you see, then how can you say that you love God whom you do not see? That is a contradiction. You must love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he says. He's not asking us our opinion, you or me. He's telling us what he wants. He's telling us what is the truth. He's telling us what is the way to heaven. And then he really confounds everybody, perhaps some of you. What do you think about the Christ? Of course, he is the Christ. Whose son is he? They say, David. Of course, they mean King David, the prophet, the psalmist. And then he says, well, how can it be that in the Psalms, David says to him, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David, now he's talking about the Messiah, the son of David, the descendant of David through Mary. If David then calls his son Lord, that means God, how can it be? Of course, he's not giving them the answer, but he's throwing them the question, and they must have scurried like cockroaches when you turned the light on. They didn't know what on earth he was talking about because they'd have no faith. He was talking about himself. And he was talking about the incarnation. The incarnation, which we will very shortly be celebrating in a very special way in the season of Advent and Christmas. The Son of God became, by the consent of the ever-blessed Immaculate Virgin Mary, became the Son of Mary, the Son of Man, because she is a human being. That's why he is the Son of Man. He's not the Son of Joseph. He is the Son of Man, the Son of David. And through her and her lineage, the Son of David. He's talking about himself, the incarnation, which is the whole crux of the gospel, that God sent his only son at the appointed time, that he became man for our sakes, so that he could die for our sakes. That is what our Lord is talking about. It's all connected. It's not separated. What a wonderful thing we have. And St. Paul mentions that also in the Epistle to the Ephesians. That which we are. Now, it's very difficult to see that today when you have so many manifestations and horrible manifestations, for instance, of the holy sacrifice of the Mass and its imitations. I was looking at the internet this morning and it said something about some bishop wearing leopard skins. And he was not wearing a cassock, he was not wearing an alb or an amice, he was wearing a leopard skin and was celebrating Mass. What a travesty! What a sacrilege! And that's a bishop of the church. He will pay dearly for that, perhaps for eternity. And I hope he does, because he must be punished. And there's no one else to punish him except God, because everyone else has scurried away and does whatever they will please. So you see many manifestations. Now it's very possible that the Mass in the leper's skin was valid. Yes, there was a consecration, there was the body and blood of Christ, but under a tremendous offense that we must not in any way participate in, ever. And if you're traveling and you enter a house of God, supposedly, that where they're doing something horrible like that, leave. Just like those modernists that come here and leave when they see that I'm facing God and not them. What do I care if they see my face? I need to see the face of God and you need to follow me. Does a bus driver look at the passengers when he's driving? If he does, get off the bus as soon as you can. And that's exactly what we need to do. But nevertheless, despite all these horrible things that are going on, some with the so-called authority of certain peoples in authority, for which they will be judged and punished severely, leave. Do not go to a place where they trampled Jesus. That is also the crux of the matter. But St. Paul tells us what it is all about. Even though it's so very difficult to identify it today. One body in one spirit. As you are called in one hope of your calling. Called how? Into the mystical body of Christ, the church. And the word church in Greek comes from the word kaleo, kalein, which means to call. The church is those who are called by God into his mystical body that hopefully will go to heaven. Hopefully, but not assuredly. One Lord, one God. One Lord, one faith. Not 40,000 faiths, all different according to somebody's opinion. We don't care about anybody's opinion. We want the truth. One baptism through which one enters into the Holy Catholic Church. One God and Father of all, who is above all. God must come first. Who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Be aware of these great mysteries which God is giving to us and is lavishing us with in this world, in his holy Catholic Church. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.